23 at Chum. Neil Diamond and Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show. Terry Steele with Elton John from Montreal on the phone. Hello, Elton.
Hi, how are you?
I want to thank you very much for calling us, for taking time out of your schedule to give us this interview.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And I also want to tell you that Toronto is in suspended animation waiting for tomorrow night.
Oh, that's good. Well, it's not too suspended.
They won't be tomorrow night.
All right.
The tickets were sold out in a matter of hours. The kids have been calling up for the tickets that we're giving away on the air. And a couple of the people actually got choked up. I could hear them. You know, their voice was cracking. They were so ecstatic. So tomorrow night is going to be a real occasion.
Good.
Let me ask you.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. We all are, you know, looking forward to coming. It's been 2 years since we played in Toronto, so we're all looking forward to it very much.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, certainly.
In Elton John's early career, who were the artists or the groups that really influenced you?
Well, in my early career as Elton John, I suppose at that period of time I was influenced by people like, I've always been influenced by the Rolling Stones and obviously like Lennon McCartney, but probably the band, when they first came out with music from Big Pink, that was a very big influence, I think, on a lot of people. Joni Mitchell, Leonard Cohen, people like that, they influenced us a great deal. When we made Empty Sky, that album, there's a couple of songs on it that are very Leonard Cohen-ish, and also there's a very Stones-ish thing on it, Empty Sky. So those were probably the biggest influences. But the band, I think, changed a lot of people's thoughts on recording, because I think that music from Big Pink was one of the finest albums of all time.
Mm-hmm. Now, over the years, as Elton John becomes a superstar, you've made many records. And what I'd like to know is, I know my favorite. One of my favorites, three of them, Tiny Dancer, LaVon, and Rocket Man. But what's your favorite song?
It's hard. You know, artists, you know, when you write things and you record them, you don't and then you don't listen to them for a long time, you don't really have favorites. I haven't got one specific favorite at the moment. I sort of like Benny and the Jets a lot because it's a fun song to play on stage. But, you know, I change from week to week. Some weeks I really like Candle in the Wind, then I'll go on Benny and the Jets, then I'll go on... but we're doing Burn Down the Mission in the show, and we haven't done that for a long time, and I enjoy doing that at the moment. So, you know, it's difficult when you actually write the songs to actually have favourites because you tend not to listen to your own records. You tend to more or less listen to other people's records more.
It's a team. Elton John and Bernie Taupin. And if you could not work with Bernie, would you have a second choice, somebody you would really admire?
I don't think I could work with anybody else because Bernie and I have got such a weird way of writing songs that I don't know. But lyrically, who I admire, I think Jackson Browne and Joni Mitchell lyrically are probably the best that I could think of at the moment. I think they're both phenomenal.
What do you do in your spare time, Elton, when you're not...
With my spare time, I'm a sports groupie, as I keep saying in the press. I'm a director of a soccer club in England, which means I part-own it, sort of thing. Not own it, but I mean, I get involved with it. And that takes up a lot of my time in England because I enjoy going around with the team and going to the matches, and I train with the team. And also, I play a lot of tennis, and I'm getting quite good at it because I've been playing a lot, and I've had good instruction from... I know Billie Jean King quite well. So... Every spare moment I get, I'm either sort of playing sport or watching sport, and I collect art. I like going around art galleries and things like that. So I lead a very, very full life. I'm never sort of still for 1 minute.
It sounds like you really do. It really sounds that way.
Right. Well, but I enjoy it. I don't like sitting. I mean, some days you just want to sit home and relax, but, I don't particularly like lying on a beach anywhere. If I go somewhere and I'm just lying on a beach, within 10 minutes I'm thoroughly bored and I want to do something. So I'm that sort of person. So, I just like doing something all the time.
You like to be on the move.
Right.
Sure. When Elton John becomes 45 years old, okay?
You wouldn't believe this. Someone in Detroit yesterday in the coffee bar said that they thought I was 53. And they said, when you wrote 60 years on, were you being optimistic?
Phenomenal. Well, now, when you do become, when you get up at 45,
right,
50, what do you plan to be doing?
Oh, I don't know. I don't plan to be singing Crocodile Rock or anything like that.
Okay.
I have no idea. You see, you know, I like living from day to day, and not knowing what's going to happen is part of the fun of this whole thing. So I'd like to be involved with the soccer club. You know, I'd like to become chairman one day. And I'll always be concerned with music in some aspect, whether it be with a record company or producing or singing. But I doubt if I'll be performing when I'm 45, because... You know, I can't really see me touring for that much longer. I mean, for that amount of time. But I'll still be connected with music and hopefully sport and just still hanging in there somewhere.
Did I hear you correctly in an interview? Didn't you say you're a frustrated DJ?
Oh, yes, definitely.
You want to trade jobs?
I don't have the talent to do yours. I'd like to go to a radio station and just to play some records, because I think that's, you know, that's a lot of fun. Because you can choose your own records. Being that they let me choose my own records is a lot of fun. I've done it 3 times on the tour already. We did it in Detroit, and I did it in Los Angeles and Atlanta. So I get a lot of I get a big kick out of that.
It's always greener on the other side, right?
Right. Yes. I mean, sometimes when you're driving in the car and you hear some good records strung together, you think, God, I'd really like to be able to do that. Just sit there and play some nice music for people is really a nice thing to be able to do.
It is a nice thing. One more question, then we'll take some questions from our listeners on the phone, okay?
Right.
In your opinion, what direction do you think contemporary music will take in the upcoming year, 1975 and 76?
Oh, I have no idea. People ask me that all the time. I don't really know. I don't really care to know, actually, because, as I say, that's part of the fun. Not knowing about what's going to happen is what pop music is all about. I mean, someone comes along out of the blue and sort of thunders up the charts and creates a sort of mild sensation. That's what I like about it. There's always someone waiting in the wings to sort of have a bit of success. So I don't really know. I've no idea, no thoughts. But as I say, that's the good thing about pop music. Nobody knows what's going to happen. It would be terribly boring if someone said, well, this is going to be the thing next year. It would just be terribly boring.
Very interesting. I know that when your song first came out and Elton John became nationally, worldwide famous, many people said, oh, a ballad-type singer. And then with other songs like Saturday Night, The Bitch Is Back, no one knows what you'll do next. And I think that's the great part of it all.
Well, the Elton John album, when it came out, was very confusing because the cover threw a lot of people. They thought I was going to be very moody and just sit at the piano because it was a very moody cover. But basically, we've always been rock and rollers at heart. I like singing. Slow songs last more than fast songs as far as longevity goes. And they're sort of more satisfying to sing on record because, you know, you can give more of a performance on a slow song unless you're a Jagger or someone who's an artist at singing really fast songs well. But basically, I've always been a rock and roller because I grew up with Jerry Lewis and Little Richard and people like that. So I think that the album cover really threw a lot of people.
Let's go to the phone and take a few questions from our listeners, okay?
Right.
Okay. Hello, Chum.
Yeah, I was wondering why a song was written about Marilyn Monroe.
Right. Well, that's Bernie Taupin is a Marilyn Monroe fan and always has been, and so have I also. But he's got all sorts of literature and books and posters, and he collects a lot of Marilyn Monroe things. So he just wrote a song about her out of the blue. I didn't ask him to, but we wrote the song before any of that, the Norman Mailer book came out. It just happens that when Yellow Brick Road was released, everything was came out at once about Marilyn Monroe, and everyone thought we were jumping on the bandwagon, which is fair enough, I suppose. But we wrote the song about a year before that book came out.
Well, thank you for your call, my friend. We'll go to another line right now. Hello, Chum.
Yes, I want to ask Elton John if he's going to be making any more albums at Chicago's Ranch in Colorado.
Yes, well, we went up there in June, and we made an album called Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy, which is more or less finished, and that will be coming out next June. And also, we recorded two separate singles that won't appear on album, one of which is released this week, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, and there's another song. And also, we recorded a single for Nigel Olsen, who's my drummer, and that's out this week, and we all played on that, and Nigel sings on it, and that looks like it's going to do very well. So we were quite busy up there in June, and we managed to do quite a lot of work.
Let me interject one thing here. Is your next release going to be Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
Yes, it is.
Okay, why did you pick a song? You've done all your own stuff. You and Bernie have done everything so far that's been your own, correct?
Right.
Okay, why now a Beatles song?
Well, we were watching Yellow Submarine on the TV in England, and we were thinking, as far as live performances go, it would be nice to do a couple of things. We were going to do Rock and Roll Baby, the stylistic song. We thought of doing that one. And then Bernie rang up. It was his idea. He rang up and said, why don't you do Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds? It's such a great song, and nobody's ever done it. So we said, we tried it out on 2 gigs in England, and it went down incredibly well. And so we thought at the ranch it would be very nice to record it. And John Lennon came up to the ranch and sang on it with us and played guitar. And so we decided to record another John Lennon on the other side, John Lennon song, which is One Day at a Time. That's on the other side of the record. So it was just something out of the blue. I thought it would make a nice change. And we're all great Lennon-McCartney fans. And, it's such a great song.
Just something that just popped to my mind before we go to another phone call. Elton John was on songs prior to your song. I hate to use the word studio musician, but there are some songs, right, that your talents are on that most people do not know.
I used to play on all the Hollies records, like He Ain't Heavy Is My Brother, and all the real pop hits like United We Stand, The Brotherhood of Man, and things like that. There's so many things that I played on, I can't remember half of them. And I used to do cover versions in England too. There's a thing that you make cover versions of England, sell them for cheap albums, and they sell a lot of records, and I used to sing other people's hits. I remember doing Fine Seal Delivered on Yours, Stevie Wonder's record.
Let's take one more phone call, okay?
Okay.
Hello, Chum.
Yeah, hello. Before I ask him a question, can I just say my name so everyone at school will believe me?
Sure, go ahead.
It's Rick Krausnick.
Okay, Rick.
Okay, Elton?
Yeah?
Yeah, I just want to say that, according to me, you're probably the greatest performer who's ever lived. But the question I wanted to ask you was, what's the significance behind The Bitch Is Back?
There's no significance behind it. It's just a song about it's about me, about anybody who's got a couple of drinks and... you know, you go out with people and you talk about people and you gossip, and it's just about people that make, you know, very trendy people who are into everything, like the latest craze, they'll do it, and it's very L.A. song, really. It's very much a Los Angeles song. There's a lot of people like that in Los Angeles.
One final question that I want to ask you, it's on my mind, and then we'll let you go back to your job of whatever you're doing right now.
Yeah.
You changed your name legally to Elton,
right?
Hercules, John,
right?
What? Why the Hercules?
Well, you know, middle names are always a bit of a waste of time. I don't know anybody really uses their middle name that much, and so I thought, well, seeing as names, I think names are in general a bit useless. So I thought I'd choose something that's absolutely ridiculous. And there's a program called Steptoe and Son, which is an English program. I don't know if you get it in Canada. You may do, but the horse in it is called Hercules. So. More or less, that clinched it for me. Hercules it was going to be.
I want to thank you very much again.
Okay, thank you.
Giving us the call and the interview, and there are thousands and thousands of people out there listening right now to the interview.
Right.
That have tickets, they're going to be there tomorrow night, and it's going to be an occasion at Maple Leaf Gardens.
Oh, well, we'll make it an occasion, too.
Fantastic. Right. We'll see you tomorrow night at the Garden Center.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.